Welcome to Inside the Huddle.
That's not us.
Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington, in studio for Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and by Healthy Communities of Clinton County. I want to thank both of our sponsors for the show today. We've got a good show planned for you today, recapping the week in local high school sports. We are now streaming on HoosierLandTV.com, so if you want to watch us here in studio and watch on HoosierLandTV.com, you can do that. Miss any part of today's show, you can go back and watch it tomorrow or listen to it tomorrow during the Inside the Huddle replay at 7 o'clock. You can listen on Spotify if you search up Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. Or you can watch the archive on HoosierLandTV.com. So plenty of ways to keep up with the show. And you can also follow myself or Kyle on X or HoosierLand_TV on X. And we have some fun stuff we'll share throughout the week from our game of the week yesterday, where Clinton Prairie took down Delphi 38-0. Let's get to our first guest of the day here in quarter number one. And our guest is Clinton Central head coach Jeremy Fenley. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful.
We are doing pretty well. Coach, your team had a tough matchup against Eastern yesterday, falling in that match 63-6. Coach, talk about what you saw from your team yesterday.
I mean, clearly the end result wasn't one we wanted as far as the scoreboard goes. But, you know, I will tell you, we played a lot of young kids last night, got an opportunity just through the way the game played out, got all of our kids in, seen a lot of great things from some of our younger classmen. You know, I was reminded that all great programs don't start out that way, right? Like, it takes them, it's a marathon. It takes several years to develop your culture, to get all the pieces and stuff in the right place. So, you know, a little disappointed in the score, but feel like we are still, as a program, treading in the right direction.
You had a matchup against Taylor last week and then a matchup against Eastern. Two teams that you're kind of trying to follow that recipe from their turnarounds, and especially Taylor from where they were a few seasons ago and the turnaround they had just last season, to the start that they had and to end up winning a sectional championship. So we talk how tough this conference is and how tough the schedule can sometimes be, but you have teams around you that you're kind of molding and taking things from and building off of as well.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we've got, you know, our junior high program is doing really well. They're 4-1. We got a youth program playing in our league championship here in a couple weeks. You know, so there is a lot of optimism and good buzz. You know, we just got to keep chopping wood. You know, like, our seniors are great. They're great leaders. They know that at the end of the day, part of what their legacy is going to be is how they've been able to bring back leadership in the locker room. So, you know, again, unfortunately, sometimes teams are graded on wins and losses. But at the end of the day, for my station, I couldn't be prouder of my team. We continue to fight. Nobody ever gives up. I don't ever hear anybody saying, I don't want to go back on the field. I don't want to play. In fact, even last night, some of the upperclassmen were chomping at the bit to get back on the field as we were rotating some of the younger guys in. So I love the fact that our fight is still there.
I want to hear a little bit more about the youth programs, because it's something that we don't talk enough about. But you have had a lot of success this season with your youth program, your junior high program. So obviously you're not the head coach of those programs, but what can you tell us about what's coming in the future for Clinton Central football?
Well, I tell you, so we are super excited about our youth and our junior high programs. You know, Jason Flynn is the head coach for our youth programs. He's got some great assistant coaches, some great community members investing in those young men. Our junior high is led by Brandon Primo. You guys might remember him. He was a player a few years ago. Good standout defensive lineman and offensive lineman for the Bulldogs. You know, and we challenged, and I challenged Coach Primo. You know, this is the first year in probably a decade we actually have a seventh and an eighth grade team. So, you know, we continue to promote our program, encourage kids to play, and through that we've been able to regain some kids who may have walked away from the program and even brought some kids in that necessarily didn't think football was their thing and actually having a really good time doing it. So, you know, last night was our youth night at our game. We got an opportunity to introduce all of the youth kids and the coaches and the cheerleaders to the community. I'm always encouraged when people come out on Sundays and through the week to watch the middle school and the youth teams play. You know, and they are big supporters of our varsity and junior varsity programs. So again, it's one big program that we're continuing to push forward.
Coach, let's say you've got a young kid in elementary school. Let's just name him Kyle. And he's interested in football. He really loves football, but he's afraid of getting hit. Number one, how would you encourage Kyle to come out and try football? And then when it comes to the getting hit part, how would you kind of deal with that with young Kyle? We'll just go with that name for, you know, just example.
Well, I tell you, so it's funny. So, like, that's almost exactly what happened to my son, right? Like, so he likes the game of football, but wasn't really sure about the whole contact piece, right? So, I tell you what's really great, and Coach Primo was fabulous with young kids, but a lot of times when you get a kid out there and they get around their friends, they see their friends are having fun, so a lot of times you don't really have to do a whole lot. Just if you can get them there and let them watch, you know, you start them out with like tackling some dummies, some bags, some agiles, you know, they start to realize that, you know, the equipment they have on is there to help protect them. You know, and I tell you, at the end of the day, sometimes, like, once a kid gets hit, like, sometimes it just, like, they realize it's not as bad as they thought it was going to be, and then they just take off.
Well, it's just kind of like Andrew Luck, how he would get just knocked flat out quite often. And then not only would he ask for help up from the guy who just knocked him down, but then he'd compliment him on the hit, too. Do your kids ever have moments like that where somebody delivered a really great tackle and they kind of congratulate the other side and everything like that? Because at the end of the day, they're sportsmen and everything like that in the heat of battle and competition.
Well, and I mean, you have that both ways, right? Like, so... You know, sometimes you're on the whooping end of the stick, and sometimes you're on the giving end, right? But yeah, we've had multiple occasions this year where either Creed or Amron or Caleb Griffey or somebody would come down and have a really good hit, and then just pick the guy up, slap him on the butt, or vice versa. You know, at the end of the day, these kids are all multi-sport athletes, right? So they're going to see these same kids in this conference. In wrestling, in basketball, in swimming, in baseball, in track. You know, some of these kids they're teammates within different leagues. Right? So like even though there is a clear battle line on Friday nights, like these kids are all still from Clinton County. They're all still from Central Indiana, like they all still grow up in rural communities. At the end of the day, we're all based in the same morals and values. So, you know, so to answer your question, yes, like there's always that caddy back and forth, but I don't think anybody ever really goes out and just tries for absolute disdain. So,
and it's always interesting how at one bonfire, you can get kids from Central, you can get kids from Rossville, from Prairie, and any school in between, they're all at the same bonfire hanging out and everything like that. And I vividly remember as a kid, not wanting to see kids from another school. It was like, why is Northwestern here? Like, why did Taylor show up? This is Western only. How? It's like the kids, because of social media, they're kind of connecting a little bit differently than they ever had before. One thing in particular in the youth. I mean, I've got a couple of nieces who are really good at using technology, and guaranteed if their parents let them, they'd probably be talking to as many people as they possibly could. In the youth championship, how well do the kids know each other, and how do you kind of promote that from your standpoint of being the head coach of a program?
So when you say how well do the kids know each other, do you mean like on other teams?
Yeah. Are they like in the same grades? Are they in the same classrooms? Are they kids from all over the county? Things like that.
Well, so we are in the Cass County League. So we have like Carroll, Logan Sport, Rensselaer. There's some schools all up in that area. But they face each other multiple times during the year, right? So like they're in the same – so they're – our junior is – third and fourth grade, and our seniors is fifth and sixth grade, right? So some of these kids play the same kids for four seasons as they are progressing through the youth league. So yes, and you know, and we're pretty stable in our coaches. You know, they've all been there for several years with their kids, so the coaches all know each other. You know, like I said, they do fundraising and stuff together as a league, so they're. There are opportunities for our kids to outreach with other teams and other communities to make that league successful.
Coach, you kind of talked about this a little bit, but I want to expand on it. You talked about, you know, the upperclassmen and the seniors, you know, they want to get back out there and they want to play some more football. How have you kind of gone about that, and how have the seniors helped out in terms of leadership? And then, When you take a couple of tough losses, and you talked about it, most of these kids are three-sport athletes, so I would think that for some of the kids, you know, it can be easy to think of, okay, well, now I should start thinking about my next sport. But how do you keep them focused on the next game, the next week, and the next practice, and the next play like that?
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's what's so great about our seniors, right? So your seniors are going to drive that culture. Right, the seniors realize, like, hey, that this is my last football season. Whatever it looks like is going to be based on how much commitment we make and how dedicated we are going to be to making sure that the team stays locked in and focused. You know, and so I'm blessed this season that I don't have to do a whole lot. You know, we talk to the kids, we tell them the importance of getting ready every week, and the seniors and even the underclassmen, like. I received a message a couple weeks ago from a parent, and she basically just told us to keep chopping wood. But her point was, her kids came home, they're underclassmen. Like, their first thing was, we've got to do better for our seniors. They deserve better from what we're doing. So, you know, that tells you right there that the seniors are doing the right thing, that these kids want to be successful for their teammates. They're there for their family. So, you know, and when you have that type of change in your culture, coaches don't have to preach, stay focused.
We've talked a lot about the seniors, because those guys are the ones that are doing a lot of the heavy lifting on both sides of football. Let's talk about some of the young guys that were able to get in last night and were able to make some good plays, and some guys that we're going to see over the next few years at Clinton Central.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, we have, you know, Keaton Canaday, when Braylon Kreider got hurt as one of our guards, he stepped up, so he's getting substantial playing time on both sides of the ball. He plays guard and linebacker. Gabe Holton is going to be another young. His brother Danny just graduated last year. So we've got Sean Simmons is another young lineman that's coming up. You know, we got Will Carter, who's a big young man that once we get him figured out and get him going, he's going to be a great help to us. Chad Keller starts on the defensive line for us, you know, is a younger guy. You know, we got Leland Reel, Dylan White, first-year football player for us, is going to end up being a great defensive back. The kid's just a ball hawk. Just love getting him more reps with some JV, but he'll start transitioning. Getting some more varsity time. You know, you've heard me talk about Caleb Griffey. Caleb Griffey has taken leaps and bounds with his game over this season. I'm so excited to look forward to him and see what he can do. Caleb Robinson is another younger underclassman that is doing great things for us. John Dill is our starting center as a sophomore. You know, I can't give him enough praise. Like, poor John gets beat up all the time, both physically, and he's very hard on himself. He's very self-driven, though. So I'm very optimistic. You know, like, we always talk about it. It just seems like we're always chasing the age gap in this conference. You know, it just seems like I don't know what the age average is for the starters in our conference, but I would guess that with two freshmen and two sophomores starting on our offensive line, we're pretty close to having the youngest starting offensive line in the conference.
Yeah, I would echo that. After all the games that we've gone through and broadcasted this year, I would definitely say that if you aren't the youngest, then, you know, you're right there at the top of that list. Absolutely, Coach.
So, you know, and that being said, you know, it would be easy for those guys to just use that as an excuse and be like, you know, but they don't. Like, I've never once heard Clay Snyder say, I can't do that because I'm a freshman. They want to be successful. Like, they will come over, and I tell my team all the time, like, you don't have to apologize. Like, they'll come over and be like, I'm sorry, Coach, I'll do better. You know, I don't need you to apologize, buddy. Like, just go out and do your best. Mistakes are going to happen. Let's do it fast. Let's do it with effort, and let's keep moving forward. You know, very optimistic in what the future holds, right? But, like, we're still in the now, and there's still a lot of football to play. Like, there's still 3 weeks of the regular season. We got a whole playoff to go. And you all know, any given Friday, anything can happen. So as long as you're on the field and as long as you put a team out there and everybody's willing to compete, as far as I'm concerned, we can win any week with anybody.
And you guys get a great matchup to try to do that next week as you travel to take on Carroll. We've seen over the last few years just how dominant that Carroll has been in this conference. And now they dropped a game to Eastern. They played a tough out-of-conference school in Mequonakwa earlier this year. So they're sitting at 3-2. What are you looking forward to in that matchup, and how do you go out there and put the right foot forward?
Well, you know, first of all, Coach Betzner has a great program. Blake and I, you know, I'm familiar with the family, worked with his wife for a couple of years. She was a school counselor at Central. You know, Blake's father-in-law is a legendary coach up in Carroll. You just look at, like, how Blake and those guys have been able to build their program. So we have nothing but the utmost respect for Carroll. Always enjoy going up there. You know, he'll have his team ready. We'll have our team ready. And again, like I said, any given Friday, it's just who shows up and who's willing to put in the work.
And we're looking forward to it, definitely, because that's the game we're featuring on Hoosierland TV. Is that right, Sam? Did I get that right?
I believe
so. Believe so. Excellent. That'll be a fun matchup. One thing with Carroll, especially, is the atmosphere. Any high school stadium is a lot of fun on a Friday night. But the one thing that I always think about Carroll is just noise. It's loud. It's raucous. It seems as if the crowd is right on top of the field. And then you've got the opposing side, you know, way off in the distance. How do you deal with a raucous crowd like that? And when there's horns going off and fireworks going off, I remember high school environments when I was in school, but I don't remember that much noise. It kind of resembles a college atmosphere. So how do you deal with all of that type of stuff going on? Because to me, I would lose my focus in an instant.
Well, I mean, you know, that pump up and motivation works both ways, right? Like, you can take it as a death horn, or you can take it as a call to stand up and keep fighting, right? So, like, I personally, like, that doesn't bother me. When they have fireworks and all that, like, you know, for me personally, like, I stay locked in, you know, like, I know our kids, like, they feed off that stuff. Like, as those fireworks and stuff start going off, like, that just drives them, okay, hey, let's go create our own success. Like, so, again, like I said, we've got great seniors, and it hasn't been a problem this year being able to keep the kids locked in, either with fan noise, officiating, whatever the distractions could be, right? Like, I'm constantly telling our boys, control the controllables, right? Like, the TNTs, to control the things that take no talent, right? And that's right. Staying focused and playing with effort. If you focus on those two things, we will be successful and whatever that success looks like. Sometimes it means you win the game. Sometimes it means that you're able to have more positive plays than negative plays. Success sometimes is just based on what your team has ability to do at the time.
I think it'd be more of a swan song for me instead of a death horn, but that's just coming from an old tennis player right there.
Coach, we talked a little bit about last season, about some of your guys that graduated and went off to play at the next level. Do you have any kids with aspirations to do that on this year's team?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about the next phase, right? So everybody's still kind of focusing on the now. You know, and we'll usually sometime in the wintertime, early spring, if any of those have decided that they want to start looking at that, we'll start putting stuff together this winter for them. That's what I really love about our kids, right? Like, nobody's talking about winter sports. Nobody's talking about the next step of their life. We're still very much in the moment, and we need that for our seniors, right? Like, it wouldn't be fair for me to start talking next level stuff. Like I said, we still have at least a minimum of four games. Like, so we're not out of it yet. So, we'll kind of start looking at that here towards, like I said, as we start getting at the end of the season, if somebody wants to really start looking at playing at the next level. But we have kids who are capable. Every single one of them are capable to go and play, you know, NAIA or some D3, and then see if they can build from that.
I like the way one coach put it the other day. He said, hey, we're not eliminated from playoff contention yet, and you guys are not, and you guys have a great chance in that sectional draw with a couple of tough opponents in there, but a couple of beatable opponents as well.
Absolutely. And like I said, anything goes with the draw. Like, all you got to do is, if you're in the game, you got a chance.
Power of the ping pong balls.
Yes, sir.
You hold your fate in your hands, and you just hope that the buffet that you're enjoying while you're watching the draw is tasting a little bit better than the draw you get, because sometimes that's the only positive about those days when you get that draw sometimes.
Hey, I'm telling you, so Coach Robinson is our resident chef, and I tell you, sometimes I'll have to have him make a brisket for you and bring it in. Like, that man is, he works magic with the smoker, man. He just catered our last team dinner here on Thursday, and man, I tell you, I had been sick for about a week, but I was able to pound down a big old plate of his food. So
I think Mr. Casper would be willing to pay for that for the sports crew. I think we'll have to ask him about that when we get a chance.
I'm telling you, Coach Robinson's where it's at. If you ain't had that man's brisket, you're missing out.
There we go. Well, now I have something to add to my bucket list, is trying some brisket from Coach Robinson. Coach, we really appreciate you coming on and talking a little high school football with us, and we wish you good luck next week. We'll see that game, Carroll versus Clinton Central, next week on Hoosierland TV. So, Coach, we appreciate it.
Thank you again for all you guys do for our sport.
Thank you. That's head coach Jeremy Finley, the Clinton Central football coach. We'll be right back. Quarter number two of Inside the Huddle is coming up.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
One in 10 people age 50 and older in the U.S. have early age-related macular degeneration.
Because macular degeneration often has no early symptoms, many don't know they have it until irreversible vision loss has already occurred. Well, when I first found out that I had macular degeneration, it was really scary. I mean, my eyes are my living.
What's most important for me to see? My family, my loved ones, my pickleball game. Everything I do is dependent upon my vision.
Being able to see, be able to spend time with my children, be able to travel is extremely important. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have my vision. Don't miss life's most beautiful moments.
Schedule a comprehensive eye exam to protect your sight.
Macular Degeneration Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Go to stopamd.org to learn more.
Back now, quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. We just talked with Clinton Central head coach Jeremy Finley. And in quarter number two, we're going to talk about some upcoming things we have on Hoosierland TV. We're going to talk about a couple of other sports going on in the area. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here in studio bringing you Inside the Huddle. Remember, you can watch Inside the Huddle on Hoosierland TV. You can listen to any part of the show that you missed. Will be available to listen to tomorrow during the Inside the Huddle replay right back here on WILO. Also available on Spotify under Inside the Huddle and Casper Media and on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. So plenty of ways to catch up and listen to Inside the Huddle. We've got a fun announcement. We talked about this a little bit yesterday on Party Line, but we'll be doing a couple of volleyball games this week. So two volleyball games to add to your game of the week schedule. We'll be watching Frankfort take on Clinton Central on Tuesday, and then on Thursday we're going to watch Rossville battle Clinton Prairie. So get all of our local volleyball teams in action in 1 week. It's going to be a fun week of volleyball, football, plenty of sectional draws happening right now, tennis and soccer sectional draws are going on. So well, what can you tell us about what you're looking at over there, Kyle?
Well, I think we've got a couple of things going on. Number one, Frankfort's head volleyball coach just got her 200th victory in her career. So congratulations to the Frankfort Hot Dogs for taking care of business. And at 10 o'clock today at Case Arena, the Hot Dogs volleyball team is going to be busy in action. Also, we're going to be seeing Clinton Central later on this week. They've got a game right now against Guerin Catholic. If you follow along on X, you'll definitely get some score updates on that. I believe that the Bulldogs dropped the first set, so trying to make a little bit of a comeback. And, of course, Sam's mind is in Arkansas right now. My mind is in Iowa. But we've got not one, not two, but three games of the week this week with some wild volleyball action. And the one I'm especially looking forward to is seeing Rossville go up against Clinton Prairie, because we did that game last year and it was a lot of fun in the Ville, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Clinton Prairie has as far as their environment, because last night it was the jungle, man, for football at Prairie. It was a fun atmosphere, so I'm looking forward to see how they carry that over to the volleyball court as well, because as Kathy Martin said a couple weeks ago, the football team's all there. They're like the front row, and they're the guys going absolutely crazy and out of their mind.
Yeah, I love to see when the entire athletics department kind of gets involved with all of the different sporting events. So you'll see the football team at volleyball matches, the soccer team at football games, and stuff like that. It's so much fun to see that.
And one thing in particular is that this is another money-making opportunity for the school. So if you get the opportunity, definitely go check it out, because, you know, we always talk about football and we always talk about basketball being kind of the big money makers for school. But the way volleyball has really risen, not just in popularity, but also the talent level that we've got in Clinton County alone, I mean, that's going to help these athletic departments be able to pay the bills, keep the lights on, things like that. So if you get an opportunity, definitely go check out these kids. I mean, I'm a little biased. You know, Rossville, I got my Ville stuff on today, got my Colts hat on and everything like that. But as Kathy Martin said, if one team is succeeding, then everybody should be succeeding because it just spills over in terms of talent and just spills over in terms of interest. So it's going to be a fun week. Saturday morning, we might have a couple of people dragging a little bit just because three games in 1 week. That's a tough schedule for even the most seasoned of coaches. So are you ready, Sam? You got the vitamin C?
Yeah, and you know, packing on the vitamin C, get okay. my allergy pills in okay. there, because you know this is the time when everything starts to hit. As the weather changes, I think it affects everybody. It goes back and forth, and you get the 52 degrees when you wake up in the morning, and 75 when you go out to your car at 5 o'clock. And so, yeah, this is the time where you need to be packing on the vitamin C and the allergy pills, so that's what I've been doing.
I got to get my steps in. That way I kickstart the Manjaro, get that working for myself and everything. So one thing in particular, Sam, I believe that I'm going to give you this opportunity. Notre Dame, we made some picks and everything last time. They did not get to 30, but they did beat Purdue. So,
and they did cover the actual spread. So.
Yes. Now, talk about the weather there, because I have never seen that happen, at least recently, in terms of lightning stop basically halting all activity in a stadium as well. That just seemed wild to me.
I can't remember the last time I saw an empty Notre Dame stadium during a game. Middle of the second quarter, not one soul in Notre Dame stadium. But I feel like we've been getting a lot of weather delays. We haven't necessarily gotten them at the high school level, but across college and even in the pros, you've seen a lot more weather delays this season than you have in past seasons.
Well, it's kind of like the old adage. It's like, oh, is that lightning? It's not here yet. So every school has a weather alert system, and if there is any type of lightning within a 10-mile radius, that's going to halt things for 30 minutes. And if there is any type of lightning within that 10-mile radius, the 30 minutes starts over again. So I could kind of tell the frustration of some of the commentators with college football, just hoping that they get the game started and everything like that. But, you know, you want to be safe rather than sorry when it comes to lightning, because you just don't want to mess with that stuff. So that 10-mile radius, I could tell that some of the guys, I don't know if it was on Fox or what it was, but a lot of the commentators were kind of like running out of things to say and were just really struggling to comprehend that long of a break with it.
Let's quickly get in a couple of scores from last night's football action. We'll give you the scores
Let's
from our local teams. So local teams in action last night: Clinton Prairie, Clinton Central, Sheridan, Western Boone, Frankfurt, and Lebanon. Carroll had a bye yesterday, so they were not in action. But here are the scores from last night. We'll catch up with Kurt Schlicker in just a second. But his team got the win 38-0 over Delphi. That was the Hoosierland TV game of the week. You can go back and watch that on Hoosierland TV. We talked about Eastern over Clinton Central 63-6. Big matchup in the Hoosier Heartland Conference. Sheridan defeating Taylor 22-13. Western Boone over Frankfurt 61-0, and Lebanon over Triton Central 21-14. Just want to quickly talk about the conference standings, where we look at for our local squads. We do a lot of work in the Hoosier Heartland Conference, and so we'll kind of stick in that with Clinton Central, Clinton Prairie, Delphi, Carroll, all in that conference. But right now, Sheridan kind of in the driver's seat, although they have a few tough games left. But after beating Taylor, they're well on their way to driving this thing towards the finish line. So what are you looking at in terms of the conference standings?
Well, the talent level at Taylor was just on full display last week when we were there. And hats off again to the Taylor High School and Taylor community, just because they took great care of us as well. Coming up this week, if you take a look at the remaining schedule, for Sheridan. They've got Delphi, which we featured last night, and then they got two big games to end the year. They go to Eastern in Greentown, and then they host Carroll, which that is going to be just an absolute slobber knocker, if I can quote the great Jim Ross from WWE. That's just going to be an absolute slugfest. So it could very well end up that those last couple of games are going to determine everything. But if you take a look at the loss column, that's the one I always focus on. If you've only got one loss, you are not eliminated by any means of the imagination. Right now, Taylor is at 2-2. They're kind of on the outside looking in. They're going to need a little bit of help. But if you take a look at the teams that have just one loss, Clinton Prairie, who we're going to be talking about in just a little bit, but then you've got Carroll, and then you've got Eastern. All of those teams have a legitimate chance to take home that Hoosier Heartland Conference trophy. Delphi and Clinton Central, they could play the role of the spoiler. To me, that was always a fun thing to do. Whenever I was on some of my teams when I was in middle school, we knew we weren't going to win a championship or anything, but we were going to make a little bit of noise. And if it meant that somebody from Hamilton Heights wasn't going to get a trophy, that was always a good day for us, at least growing up as a kid in Tipton.
Absolutely. And it was going to be interesting because Eastern Carroll and Taylor had kind of all beaten up on each other, with Carroll getting the win over Taylor, Taylor the win over Eastern, and Eastern the win over Carroll. But now, after Sheridan takes down Taylor, Taylor now has two losses, but it kind of straightens things up a bit in the final few weeks and gets a little bit clearer of a picture of what we're going to see down the stretch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the four teams at the top right now have probably the best chance. Sheridan, of course, as we said, was in the driver's seat. But Eastern Carroll and Clinton Prairie, as Coach Finley said, any given Friday, one example I think of this is the amount of blowouts that we've seen on Hoosier Land TV. We always want a good game. We always want a competitive game. But I have just been very impressed with how kids have been able to put the pedal to the metal and not be able to let up, because there's kind of a theory where you get ahead and you just kind of coast the rest of the way. And I find it encouraging. Granted, Sam, I know you want the close game. You want the final four. You know, you want the sharpen your scissors moment every single week. But for me, I really appreciate how the kids have just really kept the pressure on and continued to push and continued to score to get to that magic number 35, which is kind of becoming that magic game show type number a little bit, getting to 35, getting that running clock. And when they say no mercy, I think that has multiple meanings now for a lot of different sports in many cases.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we do need to get to our next break, and then we'll make our college football picks before we have Kurt Schlicker on. So we're going to take a short break. Be right back on Inside the Huddle.
You know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal, and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Hailstorms can cause widespread damage to one's home. After these storms, dishonest contractors show up, hoping to make a quick buck from your insurance claim. They'll promise anything if they can get you to sign a contract, collect your payment in advance, and ultimately do no work at all. Avoid being the victim of contractor fraud. Get estimates from at least three contractors. Check references, and remember, if you didn't request it, reject it.
To report fraud, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. This is a public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
WILO weather for all of North Central Indiana. Today will be sunny with a high near 82. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 56. Tomorrow will be sunny with a high near 84. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. News and weather updates 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Back now on Inside the Huddle. A little bit different episode today. Just the two guests on today, Clinton Central's Jeremy Fenley. We talked to earlier. We're going to catch up with Clinton Prairie's Kurt Schlicker in just a second because there's a lot of action going on across the county and across the area in multiple other sports. We talked about a lot of volleyball matches going on today. We really wanted to get some cross-country coaches on, but most of the cross-country teams are battling it out at the Culver Academy Invitational today. So they're all probably racing as we speak.
The joy of the run. I still can't get over that comment, and I totally disagree with that. The joy of the run, no, I do not see that. I love what cross-country runners do, but absolutely not. No way. Not for me.
Not for me either. No. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I like walking.
As has been tradition here on Inside the Huddle, we want to get to our college football picks. Kyle and I have both been picking a team for college football this season, and I can't tell you what the official record is. I think I'm in the lead.
Yeah, we're going to go with that.
Although last week we split, I picked Notre Dame and Illinois. You picked Indiana and Purdue.
Family pressure, man. That Purdue pick, that was family pressure right there. I'm going to go with that.
So let's get to this week's pick'em, and it is the game of the week, Oregon versus Penn State. The Ducks travel to Happy Valley to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. It's probably going to be a whiteout. It's going to be tough conditions for Oregon today.
Pat McAfee's got his white suit on already. I've seen it on X. It's crazy.
I'll let you take the first pick, and who are you going to take?
So much history in Penn State with just amazing players who many times will wear the number 11. They've got another player very similar to those players. My wife's favorite player on the Indianapolis Colts, number 84, Mr. Warren. I think she's never bought a jersey in her life, but I think she's going to buy his jersey. With that in mind, I'm going to take Oregon.
There we go. All right. Well,
I will never pick Penn State for anything. I'm sorry. Great school, everything like that, but I will never pick Penn State.
Yeah.
So go Ducks.
I was debating this one back and forth. You know, I think Oregon's got the new quarterback replacing Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore, and Penn State has the returner in Drew Aller. They've also got the returning running back room. Probably top two in the country, and they are number two behind my Fighting Irish's backfield in Catron Allen and Nick Singleton.
I knew you were
going
to sneak that one. Knew it.
Because nobody's better than Jeremiah Love and Darian Price.
Right.
So I will go with Penn State at home. I think they're going to get the win. So there we have it, our college football picks, Oregon versus Penn State. We're going to take another short break and be right back with our final quarter of Inside the Huddle, where we'll catch up with Clinton Prairie head coach Kurt Schlicker after his team got a 38-0 victory over Delphi last night on the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week. You're listening to Inside the Huddle. It's brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
As a high school student athlete, it makes a difference when the stands are filled with cheering fans. I'm Reed Robinson from New Prairie High School.
And I'm Autumn Rife from North White High School. It motivates us to do our best when we know our entire school community has our backs.
When they understand the real purpose of high school sports.
When they remember learning life lessons is more important than winning.
When they keep athletic events fun and positive for everyone.
That's what being a champion of high school sports is all about.
Whether you're a parent, fan, coach, official, administrator, or broadcaster, we all have a role to play in championing high school sports.
Thank you for supporting our schools, our communities, and our student athletes.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Neidig. Support the mission of education-based athletics by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is being a champion of high school sports. This is preserving the second classroom. This is your IHSAA.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here on Inside the Huddle, and we got another guest on the phone lines, and it is Clinton Prairie head coach Kurt Schlicker after his team won 38-0 over Delphi last night. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, we're doing well. Proud of the effort of our boys last night. You know, we took a tough one on the chin the week before at Sheridan, and I thought we really bounced back well last night.
And you guys got the ball to start the game, and you kind of just took it from there, marched down the field, and scored a touchdown. And last week, you're kind of keeping a secret from us in terms of what the quarterback situation was.
Shame on you.
Was going to be. And, you know, you've had great quarterback play all season long from Brady Allen and Gage Kuzmix. And on the first play of the game, you put Kai Jacobs out there at quarterback, and he hands the ball off. But then Brady Allen and Gage Kuzmix both get some playing time, and they both throw a couple of touchdown passes in the game for you guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, all three of our quarterbacks are very capable, and you know, we like what Kai can do for us. We've given Kai a few more snaps here and there in practice, but certainly that's not an indictment of how Gage and Brady are playing. And obviously, last night, both of the boys played very well. We were better up front last night. That helped us. Right, our quarterbacks had a little more time. And then we made some really nice catches and runs last night. You know, Kai Jacobs makes a nice catch early in the game. So does Braden Jarbo. Trenton Kaser had a nice game for us catching the ball last night. Jackson Price had a nice catch or two. And Alex King has been solid for us all year. So, you know, you add in the Hunter Cooper on the ground. You know, that was a nice we had nice balance last night. But really it starts up front, and our big guys did a good job.
Absolutely did. It seemed like everyone, every time you ran the ball, even when the Oracles were kind of betting on the run later on in the game, your offensive line was able to create enough space for, or enough of a hole for a running back to get through and get 5 or 6 yards downfield before getting hit. So that's what you love to see as a coach, is winning in the trenches.
Well, there's no question about that, right? Football games, a lot of times, right, I think everybody knows this, are one up front, and then obviously your skill needs to execute in behind. So, you know, last night, you know, we limited our turnovers. You know, they made a nice play, but we got a couple big turnovers. But, yeah, being able to run the ball is something that, you know, if you're going to be a good team, you got to be able to run it some, and we were not able to run it very well at Sheridan. And that impacted us. And last night, you know, when we were able to get our ground game going, you know, I thought Braden Jarbo ran the ball obviously very well. Cooper, before he sustained his injury, you know, was running really hard. And then at the end, Ryder Minter, our young sophomore running back, ran well too. So we had a really nice game from all three of those boys.
And speaking of plays on defense, you guys were able to make a handful of plays on defense. And then after one of your one of the turnovers that you guys had, the very next play, you're able to come back, and Kai Jacobs intercepts a pass, albeit one-handed on the interception, and then takes it nearly 70 yards for the pick six. And I'm sure you were super happy about the interception, but then you said, hey, Kai, two hands on the football, right?
Well, you know, Kai's an exceptional player. He's been a good player for us his entire career. And, you know, I thought last night, you know, we covered well. It started with really the first play of the game. Jackson Price does a nice job breaking up a pass early. Wyatt Harshbarger makes a nice interception for us. But we had good pressure. I think a lot of those interceptions were caused last night because we were able to get pressure on the quarterback. Our defensive line and a couple blitzes were able to put a lot of pressure. And then, obviously, Kai, once he caught that, what a spectacular catch. The chances of catching him are not great because I think everybody knows how fast Kai is. And it was great to see. And that was obviously a big play. You know, I would say if you kind of go through the game, that was kind of the backbreaker, right? We kind of opened the door. We had a ball tipped, and they picked it off. And in the very next play, like you say, Jacobs' interception takes it to the house. And that kind of put that lead way out there for us and gave us a little breathing room.
We automatically picked that play as the play of the game as soon as it happened. We said, we don't care what happens after this play. That is the play of the game. It was absolutely dead set and stoned for us. You talked about defensive pressure, and I kind of wanted to go a little more in-depth on that. You play that 3-4 defense, and you got guys coming from the weak side and the strong side. How do you decide which guy to blitz? Because I think a lot of people are used to the old video game, blitz everybody, everybody runs toward the quarterback. But kind of talk about how you decide who to send, whether it's the Sam, the Will, and how the Mike and the Plugger kind of just are able to mix it up in there.
Well, I think anytime as a coach, right, you can blitz a kid anytime, like you said, but some kids just have a knack for what we say, getting home, right? They can get home. They can get to the quarterback or get to the running back. They just have that little extra, whether it be quickness, speed, just desire, right? Sometimes a good blitzer just has the desire that he's just not going to get blocked, right? He's going to get past that blocker. And, you know, we were able to we've got a couple boys on our team that I think do blitz very well. And, you know, we tried to take advantage of that last night. You know, sometimes you pick those things up by watching film, right? You watch some film. And you see what other teams have success with. And, you know, you try to emulate that if you can. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And, you know, it works both ways, right? Like if teams have success blitzing against us, we realize that, you know, we're going to have to make some adjustments on offense, right? Because the next team is going to see that on film. And, you know, most likely they're going to try the same thing. So for us last night, we were able to get home a few times. You know, I thought for the last couple of weeks, Kyson Nabinga has played very well for us, a senior outside linebacker. That kid really has a nose for the ball, so to speak, and Kyson was all over the field. But we had a nice game out of some of our front last night. I thought Carson Neal, right, he was able to block a punt. You know, Carson's a first-year player for us, but he's one of our stronger kids, even at his size, and he's very fast, and, you know, he used his speed last night. I thought our two inside linebackers played pretty well last night, too. Braylon Hillman, Jr., and then Jr., Alex King. You know, we got Alex in the right spot last night. I think that helped us. I think after watching the Sheridan film, you know, one thing, like we said last week, you either win or you learn, and I think we learned some things about our team last week at Sheridan, and I think that helped us improve our team this week against Delphi.
Talking with Clinton Prairie head coach Kurt Schlicker, and you kind of named everybody that made a big play in that game on defense for you guys, and I was really impressed with the defense, and you talked about it a little bit, but I was definitely impressed with the coverage from Jackson Price. I thought he was able to make a handful of nice plays, batted a couple balls away from receivers, and he had a really nice game as a cornerback.
He did. You know, we're blessed. I think we have five boys for our four positions back there. Luke Harshbarger has a little bit of a neck issue. Luke's been a great player for us for a couple of years. So he was limited last night. And we've moved Jackson Price around quite a bit. I will always call Jackson the Swiss Army knife. If you know anything from baseball, right, Jackson Price can play all nine positions in baseball.
And we use him in baseball. How good he is. It's disgusting how good he is. It's amazing.
You know. It is. And in football, we've kind of done the same thing with him. You know, he could run the ball, but we used him some at receiver. And on defense, we can use him. We plugged him in a corner last night. I thought he had a good game. Or really, you know, a great game back there. I thought Gage Kuzmix played very well on defense last night, too. You know, like, we used the two-quarterback system, but let's not forget Gage plays the whole game on defense. And, you know, as he gains confidence over there, I thought he's made a difference. We had a nice game last night from Junior Hayden Patton. He's on our offensive line. He played a little more D-line last night. I thought he gave us a real boost in there. And, you know, our Andrew Thatcher, when Thatcher gets in there, he's been a three-year starter for us. He's done some really good things. So, yeah, we're blessed to have, you know, five guys back there. Trenton Kayser obviously had a good game with Kai and Wyatt back there. So when you've got a little bit of depth at the DB and experience, that sure helps, and it did last night.
Thatcher just absolutely would bring the house with some of his hits, and he would just clear the way for so many great runs for not just on offense but also on defense, allowing people to hit the gaps. I mean, I didn't know that he was a preacher man as well, too. That was something that I learned last night during the senior night festivities.
Well, you know, Andrew, I say he's a really good kid. He's got a lot of talent. He cares about people. That's number one. He cares about his teammates. And, you know, we really hope for the best for his future. You know, I know he has an interest in playing some college football. And he has that thing that you can't teach, which is size, right? He has some natural size. And, you know, he's done a really nice job for us. I think our senior center, Brody Atkins, who wasn't able to play last year, has come along and had a really nice season for us. And then, obviously, on our offensive line as well, our left side has been pretty solid all year with Jackson Wells as a junior. And then our freshman, Andrew King, I thought played very well. Andrew's done very well for a freshman. It's really tough to play as a freshman, and Andrew's done a great job for us.
It's a lot of fun to see. And last night during the game, when your wide receivers would line up with one-on-one coverage, I would almost kind of get a little twinkle in my eye just because I was like, something good's going to happen. When you send the play in, do you send just one play in? Do you send three plays in? How do you do it? Because, you know, I watch the Manning cast. Those guys have like nine plays that they can go to. Kind of describe your thought process with sending the play in. And then when you see the coverage on receivers like that, what can you do pre-snap to communicate?
Well, without giving away too much information.
Right, obviously.
Yeah, we have some ability. Yeah, we have some ability to change plays. We do. And we have some built-in things that we work on. And I'll be honest with you guys. It takes an experienced quarterback, or you can't do that. You really can't. And even with experience, it's still very difficult to ask the quarterback to, you know, to make a read or to do things. You know, we're blessed to have two. So, you know, one thing about the two-quarterback system, I think that is a really benefit for a coach, is that you can talk to the quarterback. So, you know, a quarterback runs a play, they get to come over, and you can communicate with them. Not only you with them, but they can communicate with you. And, you know, they're like, hey, coach, I think this is a good one, you know. So, you know, sometimes their suggestions, you know, they're definitely taken to heart, and whether or not we run the play immediately. But, you know, that comes with experience. And that's one thing about having Gage and Brady, and even Kai, right, having played quarterback. We're very blessed to have guys that have been around and, you know, have seen some different things, and they kind of understand what we're trying to get done. And so, yeah, you know, we have some ability to change a play potentially each time we go up to the line of scrimmage, for sure.
And there was no need to change a play on the last offensive play of the first half when you got your final touchdown. You guys forced a punt. You called a timeout to save a little bit of clock, and with a good return from Jackson Price, set you guys up with great field position. And Brady Allen found Trenton Kayser for a 27-yard touchdown pass on
that was cool.
Your final offensive play of the first half to make it 38-0. But we talked about it in the booth, the pump fake from Brady Allen. He kind of puts his shoulders into it,
baby.
And he drew the defense in a little bit, and Trenton Kayser was able to find some space in the back of the end zone.
Well, you know, our quarterbacks, you can ask them if you wanted to. Like, I'm a stickler about certain things, and, you know, the if you are going to pump fake, then it's got to be a real pump fake, right? It's got to be a believable pump fake, or no one's going to buy it. So, obviously, Brady did a great job with that. You know, it was one of those cases where, you know, momentum is real. I think we all know that. We watch sports. We had some momentum there near the end of the half. It's like, hey, let's go for the kill shot here. So, you know, we went after the punt, but we did get a good return. And then it really was. It's a momentum thing. Sometimes you're, you know, you're comfortable with the lead you have. But it just kind of felt like last night. And, you know, hey, let's take a shot here. If we can get the ball in decent field position. And, you know, it was nice to see, you know, Trenton's coming along for us. I know Kai gets a lot of attention, as he should, as the one receiver for us. But we know Trenton has a lot of ability. And obviously he played well. And, you know, for our quarterbacks, you know, if we can give them some time, you know, they're both very capable throwers. And I thought they did a great job last night.
There was a couple of times, even when they didn't have as much time. I know the first touchdown pass of the game from Gage Kuzmix, there was a couple blitzers that were coming in, and he still stepped up into the pressure and was able to deliver a pass over the linebacker. And then another play by Gage later in the game with pressure where he had to roll out. He had a guy chasing him, and if he slowed down at all, he was going to get hit from behind. And then Trenton Kizer again kind of just sat down in open space, found him for a nice big gain on a critical third down. So you've seen great plays from both quarterbacks and all three quarterbacks really throughout the game. One thing I did want to talk about, and I'm sure that's something that you're looking at and talking about, is the two-point plays, because you guys couldn't get the first couple of two-point plays, and we talked about a little leaving points on the board is something you never want to do. So there's always something you can work on, even after a 38-0 win.
Well, no doubt on those two-point plays. We'd had those in because we didn't score much last week, and so we just, that's on me. We just didn't execute them. You know, we had a couple things we kind of missed, and those plays are going to matter, right? You know, we were fortunate last night that they didn't, you know, because I think we talked before, like, the drive's not over till we get to 2 points, and we try not to celebrate too much after the touchdown because we need those two-point plays. So, yeah, I mean, that's why teams, you know, everybody's like, go for two. Well, it's not easy. 3 yards isn't always easy, especially when you only have 13 yards to work with, right? You don't have the whole field, so you have a condensed area there. And, you know, one little breakdown, and you get a little pressure. Like, one, I thought last night we did have a couple, but we got immediate pressure, and that really causes problems. So, you know, it's something we work on. We'll go back to the drawing board this week and see what we think we can get done, because those are massive plays, and we were fortunate last night that we didn't need them.
And I really love the fact that on senior night you hugged every single person in that line, because you've got a lot of seniors, but it was nice to see just genuine affection between a coach and players with the hug. So I wanted to commend you and the boys on that, because I think that's something that's kind of lost in the heat of battle. You know, you went tough, rugged, but you know, I loved that you gave hugs to all the seniors last night. That was great to see, definitely.
Well, you know, I am blessed. I have been blessed. I have coached for a long time, and you know, the players are what make it special. You know, I love the game, and just like all our coaches do, but really we do it too because we love our players. Yes, sometimes it's tough love. It can be, right? Sometimes we get on pretty good, depending on what it is. But gosh darn, the sacrifices that those kids have made from coming into the weight rooms over the years, you know, working in when it's really hot, you know, and bouncing back. And so, you know, we love our seniors. You know, we love them every year, but we have a very nice group this year, and I was really happy for them to be able to get a win on senior night.
Well, Coach, I wanted to just say congratulations on the victory, and good luck next week when you take on Taylor. And Coach, I know that there's probably a college football game or two that you're going to be excited to watch. Iowa versus Indiana. Do you have a pick in that game?
Who cares?
Well, to be honest with you, I am on the road right now driving to Iowa City. That's why I'm not in the studio.
I called it.
Kyle actually, yes. He said, I bet he's driving to Iowa.
I am. Met with a team this morning, and I'm on the road right now, so it's going to be a nice day. I'm a little worried as an IU fan here, because I know how good Iowa is at home, and you sleep on the Hawkeyes in Iowa City, and you'll come away with a loss. So, but yeah, there's a lot of great games today, and you know, I want to thank you guys for our coverage, and I would just say this, that you know, our schedule definitely doesn't get easier. If anything, it definitely is going to get tougher here. And Taylor has an excellent team this year. But we're excited. You know, it was good to get a win last night, and hopefully our confidence is going to help us going into next Friday.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you calling in on your drive to Iowa City, and thanks for all you do.
Yay, thanks, fellas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds pretty good. That's Coach Kurt Schlicker with Clinton Prairie Football.
I knew it.
Kyle with the best prediction of the day.
My roommate in Washington, D.C., Adam, from Tipton, Iowa, all he ever talked about was Kinnick Stadium and everything like that. But in between the first and second quarters, the student section turns to the children's hospital because the windows are right over the field, and they all wave to all the kids in the windows and everything like that. So it's a cool environment, Kinnick Stadium. But shout out to Adam, one of my college roommates in D.C. from Tipton, Iowa.
There you go. That'll do it for our final quarter of Inside the Huddle, and that'll do it for this episode. Remember, you missed any part of today's show. We caught up with Jeremy Fenley from Clinton Central and just now Kurt Schlicker from Clinton Prairie. All of the show will be archived on Hoosierland TV for you to watch or on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media and on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just click on the Sports tab and click on the Inside the Huddle tab to find all of the recent episodes. That'll do it for Kyle Etherington. I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.